Hi, this is Joe Pena, and you're listening to Enlighten Me. Discussions with entrepreneurs, perhaps like you, who have a commitment to their purpose and the courage to see it through. Everyone has the innate potential to access freedom, wisdom, happiness, and fulfillment. Sometimes we need encouragement to do what's necessary to find and open the locks to our own soul's purpose. And that's where Dr. Jennifer Howard comes in. She's a licensed psychotherapist, a healer, author, relationship counselor, and professional speaker with more than 20 years of experience in helping people like you and me make changes in their lives. Dr. Jennifer created a plan through which she assists people in personal development and spiritual growth through her lectures, workshops, and her upcoming book, Changes That Last. Anyway, I'd like for you to help me in welcoming Dr. Jennifer Howard. Dr. Jennifer, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Joe. I'm so excited to be doing this with you because, you know, you and I had a very nice connection, and I think this is going to, you know, be very pleasant.
Dr. Jennifer, you say on your website, join me in exploring what may take you to the next level in personal growth and spiritual development. What is that next level? What exactly are you talking about there?
Well, certainly the next level would be depending on where you are now. What I mean by that is helping people reach their personal goals from a psychological standpoint and things that they want in their life, and also their spiritual goals. So challenging them to think in both ways, challenging them to think about what's in the way of oneness, their fulfillment spiritually, whatever that is to them. And that would require us to look at our belief systems about our spiritual life, our belief systems about our body, and our belief systems about our emotion.
We have, as a culture, here in the States at least, a bit of a stigma when it comes to psychotherapy. Do you find that people are generally resistant or reluctant to want to engage you because of that designation that you have as a psychotherapist?
Well, it's funny. It's either one or the other. Hmm. It's either they say, either they've been in therapy and they know what it's about, and they're like, yes, very good, good for you, and I hope you help lots of people. Or they don't know, and they go, wow, you know, my mother used to do this. What does that mean? And they think I'm going to have a codified answer or something. Mm-hmm. Or they go, nice to meet you, and they walk off. So it depends on, you know, what they think about it. You know, how I really came into this and look at this is it's about personal growth and development. I mean, it's really, therapy is just a way that we have of getting close to our wholeness, because it's our childhood wounding, our programming, our karma, whatever that is, that's in the way of us being fully ourselves. And I know that from my own processing. I mean, I came into this because I went into therapy and it changed my life so profoundly. I wanted to help others. So, and I see this in my practice, you don't become somebody else. You become more yourself when you're not hung up with all the worry about what other people think and, you know, whatever the anxiety and depression is. Everybody has things in the way to their wholeness, to being their best self.
First time I've ever heard it quite put that way, especially in the combination that you bring with regard to the therapeutic aspect of it and the spiritual development. It's somewhat unique, at least as far as I know. Now, there's this idea, and there's this discussion about intuition. You and I had a brief discussion about this earlier, where I was on a call recently, and the subject of intuition came up, and they were encouraging the use of your intuition or to develop that. And I remember telling you that I became very upset, and I honestly, I didn't realize that I was at first, and then I'm wondering, what am I upset about? Why am I shook up about the fact that they're asking people or suggesting that people use their intuition? And I talked with you about the idea that when I was younger, I was so intuitive. Looking back on it, I know it now. I was guided by, did a lot of things based on my intuitive nudges. And then I stuffed it. I found that I stuffed it for years and years. And only after, I don't know, when it became unveiling itself again. But, well, whatever, I didn't realize I had that issue. But
yeah, okay, there you go, right?
Right.
Another way to process. Yeah, good.
So that was a long-winded way of me getting to the point of asking, what's this balance between intuition and thinking?
Well, I think it's an important balance. I mean, I think about the Tree of Life in the Kabbalah, when I answer this question. It is truly a balance, because our mind also, our intellectual mind is not the enemy. Our mind is part of who we are. Our feelings are part of who we are. Our body is part of who we are. And intuition at its best kind of comes from a direct knowing that moves through all those bodies, so to speak, you know, our emotional body, our mental body, our physical body, all the way down to the body. And, you know, when you have that kind of intuitive hit, like, ah, this is right, our body relaxes, our stomach lets go. We say, oh, this is absolutely, I mean, that's intuition at its best. Mm. At its worst, it's people reaching up kind of through the unprocessed belief systems and thinking they know the answer. That's why it's important. I mean, I think I said to you earlier, but, you know, a psychic at their best, an intuitive at their best, is 80% right, because we're all human and it's coming through those filters. Mm-hmm. So even with ourself, you know, you want to, your gut will know the answer, but you also want to take a deep breath and think about it and sit with something. I mean, I'm thinking about when I met my current husband, you know, I knew immediately, yet we took 2 years to get to know each other and then get married. So it wasn't like, oh, and immediately let's run to City Hall, you know. you also use your, you know, your mind to say, wait a minute, that looks good so far. Let's just, you know, let's also ask questions and use my mind and the rest of me. Mm-hmm. So does that make any sense at all? But I hear what you're saying is a grieving of, gee, if I just listen to my gut, my intuition, my gut, my whatever you, I mean, it's called a lot of things, I might have known, oh, this is the right direction, not this way.
Makes sense.
But,
yeah,
go ahead. But at the same time, Joe, mm-hmm. every time we take a wrong turn, it's not really a wrong turn. Mm. It's the way we're learning. And if we can glean deep transformation from each thing that happens to us, each quote-unquote mistake, then our life becomes this rich pool of knowledge. Because, you know, we can't know at 21 everything. I don't know now everything. So, you know, we have to learn through the years and have compassion and kindness toward ourselves as we're learning.
Yeah, so there's something to that old saying, live and learn.
Right, but sometimes people say that in kind of a glib way, or kind of a, well, live and learn. You know, and people don't want to, we don't want to make mistakes. That's why we're scared to take action sometimes. And sometimes we just have to go and do our best and think it through and and then do what we got to do later.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, I like this perspective that you're talking about. It's one where keeping that in mind, mm-hmm. you have a little compassion for yourself, for the mistakes you make.
Yes, lots of it. That's right.
A willingness to be able to make mistakes, and which gives you the ability to do things without first or overwhelmingly considering the risks and only looking at that, and instead doing something because it feels appropriate to you or right for you.
And if you're a person who wants to jump out of airplanes and drive in fast cars and, gee, you don't think that's a risk, then that's another problem.
Okay.
You know, I think that, you know, everything is tempered with who, you know, our own wounding, our own lens with which we're looking at it. So, yes, I believe we do need to take, I don't believe you can really succeed unless you're willing to fail.
Hmm.
Somebody asked me yesterday about, oh, you know, the law of attraction thing, you can't say the word no, because if you say no, then you're saying no to the universe. And I don't think I agree with that. I think that I really believe in a relationship, we need to be able to say no to say yes. Really, to the universe, we just say, you know, this is not my cup of tea. This is not what I'm destined to. This is not right for me, and this is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that saying no to something doesn't bring negativity into your thinking. Is it more of a selection?
Not necessarily.
Selecting what it is that you would prefer?
Yeah? Correct. Okay. And selecting what it is according to your intuition and your mind that you would prefer.
Hmm.
You know, going back to theming the whole, threading this whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
So you say to me, do you want to do my radio show? I said immediately yes. I mean, the risk was fairly low unless I kind of put some parameters and we had a conversation. Our connection was really nice. I really liked you. I thought, oh, this is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But my gut was yes anyway. But I still talk to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's laughing.
Well, that's because you only know me so far.
Well, that's true. I don't know exactly what you're going to ask. We talked about that, the size of my shoes or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I've noticed that you've made numerous appearances on TV. That one of them looked very much like, what is it, like a Jerry Springer show. Who's that guy that you...
It was Charles Perez.
Charles Perez. That...
You were... I took the wind out of the sails, didn't I? Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was interesting because... I was very fortunate that the producers let me come. I did that Charles Perez show quite a few times, and I really liked being on the stage the whole time because I really did get to stop things before they got crazy. Oh. Now, that's not good TV.
When you say good TV, you put that in parentheses or in quotes,
I certainly do. I'm being a little smart aleck, but you know, it's like. For television, they want it to get out of control. I mean, certainly Jerry Springer would never have me, and I don't think I would. I don't think I would go. I mean, I don't know if you said you can stop everything. Maybe I would. I don't know. But, you know, the sensational stuff is such a. It makes me sad. It's like how we, as a society, enjoy. This really makes me sad. We enjoy the misfortunes of others, and I feel so sad about that. It isn't that we shouldn't learn from others or that people can't tell us their stories that are difficult and we can't learn from them and appreciate what people have gone through, for gosh sake. You know, that's our stories have been forever since we've been speaking, how we connected to each other. But I think there's something sad about that's what's going on that's lacking compassion, to go back to that word, where we have utmost compassion for our fellow human beings and kindness toward them and their difficulties. Because, you know, most people are absolutely doing their very best at all times, ever how nutty it looks to us. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you're right. I took the wind out of the sails a couple times of the show. That was what's hard about going on at the end of those shows, because then what do you say? You know, that's going to really make a difference. I don't know. I hope I came up with something that was helpful, but... Mm-hmm.
For me, it conveyed that you certainly have the skills to facilitate issues between people. And certainly on one of those episodes, that's what I saw. You were helping to facilitate a resolution. Now, you didn't give them the quick fix. You didn't give them the quick answer. But what I found was that you framed this situation for them in a way that would be most useful to them, most helpful to them, enabling them to get to a place that would be beneficial to them.
Yes, thank you. You know, I'm so glad you brought up that quick fix thing in, because that's one of my kind of theme songs, is that there is no quick fix. There really isn't. And I know everybody wants one, and we all want the simple answer. But what's so beautiful about human beings is that we're so intricate and we're so complex that, you know, this, I really believe that part of the reason we're here as individuals is to learn and grow and become our best. So that's going to look different for you than it does for somebody else. And there is no, you know, read the 10 ways to be enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
The 7 ways to self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are headlines that capture attention and pique interest, right? They're successful in getting people's attention and getting them to read, but... Where they fall short, or where the Associated article falls short, is it's topical.
Well, and it's pretending that those 7 things, I mean, unless somebody says, by the way, these 7 things are just the beginning of something you need to scratch the surface of, you know, it's implying that that's it. If they, you know, if they have these 10 things, they've got self-esteem. First of all, that might be true. Let's say we could name 7 things to self-esteem. Mm. It would take you years to achieve those. Of your own, you know, meditation, maybe therapy, whatever ways, you know, some good books, good groups of people, that ways that you can see your own turns in the, you know, the great thing about therapy or having an individual coach or somebody who helps you, sometimes we're blind to our own twists and turns. You know, that's, somebody can say, you know, that's this over here, and you go like, dadgummit, I've seen that forever and I never thought about it that way. You know, that's what we need help from others. We're a community.
Mm-hmm.
We need support. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's community. That's something that some of these social networks, well, not some of these, but the social networks are helping to build and foster in many respects. Yeah, I know that I've embraced a couple of the social networks myself. That was something, I have to tell you. A couple of years ago, you couldn't have gotten me to even think about that.
I me either.
Wouldn't have given it a second thought.
Yeah.
But your point about community, I think, is really something that resonates with a lot of people, at least in that regard. Otherwise, these networks wouldn't be so popular as they are, would they?
Well, you know, I've learned something very, very interesting about myself on Twitter, is that the essence of who we are really always shines through. Because even though it's 140 characters, mm-hmm. and I don't have to, you know, I actually like Twitter, but I don't have time. You know, I have to also do other things. But people have said things to me that I think, wow, that came across, things that I don't think about, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. about myself. Mm-hmm. And they would say, you're so dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, that's so interesting that they got that with so little words. So it's like the essence of us does get carried through in any communication in a funny way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. I refer to that myself as our inner radar, and it has the ability to pick things up.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we do. We do. No, absolutely. We do pick up things. You know, and I've been very intuitive myself my whole life. You know, have also used that as guidance. And the deeper we connect with ourselves, that guidance doesn't have to be sought after. It is simply available every moment.
Whew.
It's just with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't have to go do something to get it, or it's just right there.
Yeah, and I've been there,
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
that I'm not there as often as I'd like to be because I'm so busy being me.
We're so busy doing. We're so busy doing that.
Yeah.
Well, that's where interesting enough, that's where spiritual practice comes in.
Mm.
You know, there's the psychological boo-boos that keep us from the oneness with God, and then there's the actual practice of going in and sitting in whatever flavor of spiritual practice suits you, but tapping into, let's say, as if you had to tap into it. You don't really have to tap into it. It's always present. It's there every minute.
Mm-hmm.
But reminding ourselves, yes. The wholeness is here. I am one with whatever God or whatever anybody wants to call that isness that is. To remind our body, mind, spirit, to remind our nervous systems to relax enough to hear the intuition, to help others, to know. And I really believe that if we all did that work on ourselves, both ends, this world would be completely different, because as you see these deep spiritual beings who've written these fabulous books through the years for us, and, you know, of course, Christ and Buddha and some amazing other folks, we see that there's nothing but love and kindness that comes from them.
Mm.
And not that they don't get angry sometimes or that, you know, they don't challenge things. I mean, but it takes us to kindness. We don't want to hurt others.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in connected to our deeper self.
So on your website, you mm-hmm. have resources for your visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit more about what those resources are that you're offering.
Oh, goody. I really wanted this site to be a oasis for folks. So that's why I wanted people to sign up and join, and it's free. There's a virtual meditation room that I change the guided imageries off and on, and there's two different songs and two different slideshows that they can, there's landscapes and skies. Now, meditation can be done closed eyes, and they can just do the music if they want to, or they can do the slideshow. The slideshow is 20 minutes. So this is a resource for us, you know, me too, to be able to come to and say, oh, right. And when you're looking at natural beauty, most of us can relax more easily. You know, that's why a sunset is so compelling to all of us, and mm-hmm. mountains and ocean. And so that's available. And then there's a bi-monthly e-zine where I just, you know, trying not to overwhelm people, but just writing something small to take this moment for yourself, you know, to remind yourself of who you really are and who you're becoming too,
mm-hmm.
you know, becoming more of yourself. And then there's articles and the blog. And it's so funny. I'm trying to learn. I tend to be a funny person, but writing funny has not been something I've been good at until Twitter.
Interesting.
But if you go to my blog, mm-hmm. you take your cursor over my pictures, you'll see my humor on those silly pictures, because they're moving into laughter and whatever. So I really wanted this website to be a place that people can come. There's downloadable MP3 meditations, which I'm going to add. I just want it to be an oasis for people to come and visit daily if they want to, do the meditation, and then go about their day. And that's kind of weaving to what we said before about taking that time every, you know, every day if you can to sit somehow mm-hmm. in meditation.
So the idea then is that if I wanted to develop a practice of doing that and using facilities that were online or resources that were online, mm-hmm. your website would be one place that I could come and do that.
That's right. Yeah? That's right. Somebody else said this to me. I was writing articles and submitting things, and they said, you'd like to write provocative. And provocative meaning provoking thinking and feeling, not provocative meaning anything else.
Right. Right.
But provoking a way that we go, oh, interesting, let's think about that for myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't have all the answers. Nobody died and made me God. I mean, everybody has their own. Everybody has their own. I mean, I've just been studying this for so long that I think I have a few things that I can at least ask questions for people to then find for themselves. But everybody knows inside of themselves the answers. So we all have our own deep answers, as long as we're questioning those habitual belief systems that we grew up with.
Gotcha. And that brings up a very good point. I remember getting to the point where I realized I had habitual belief systems.
Good.
Because,
good for you.
Because, I mean, up until then, I just...
They're running. That's right.
You know, there was what I believed, and God, why don't you believe it? What's wrong with you?
Right. Well, you know, I have a talk that I give about programming, our childhood programming. Mm-hmm. There's, and I don't want to pick on, you know, it happens in our childhood. That's
right.
When the groundwork is, so to speak, the railway system is laid down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And but we have to say, wait a minute, I've always gone left here and or right here or center here, or I'm not trying to pick political thing at all. I was just talking about, you know, a railway.
Mm-hmm.
But is that really good for me? Is that really what I really believe? Or is that what I've always been taught was right?
Mm.
And we can't do that kind of questioning until we've already grown, until we're grown, until we've already had that training. We have to teach children what's right and wrong.
Mm.
And then they can always disagree with us later.
Dr. Jennifer, before we close the call, I'd like to ask you if there's anything that you would like to direct our listeners to in particular at your website?
Oh, that's a nice question. You know, I would want them to investigate for themselves. Certainly the meditation room, I think, is I'm really proud of it, and I think it's very helpful and very relaxing. I would say everybody would probably enjoy that, unless you just don't want to ever go inside or meditate, and probably you're not going to listen to this conversation anyway. So, but, you know, really looking at the old blogs, because the blogs I write are not about current topics particularly. They're about, you know, states of mind and challenging things. So really taking their time to really read through things, and please comment. You know, comment on the blogs, comment on the articles, email me, ask me questions. You know, let's make this a dialogue. That's what I love about Twitter, is that you really get to have dialogues with people about stuff. And I really like connecting. I want to connect. This is my longing to do the rest of my life, is to really use all this stuff that I've spent so much time and energy and money learning, and really share what I can, and have them share what they know. You know, so I learn from people. That woman's question helped me enormously. So I would really want them to take their time and go through things and come back and look again, and then just ask, you know, let's make it a dialogue between each other.
Excellent. Hey, I'd also like to recommend that they sign up for your Easy.
Thank you.
What do you think of that?
Thank you. I think that's great, and I think they'll, and I'm not going to annoy people. I mean, people are like, oh, another email.
Right.
So I'm not going to send something out like every day, like, and please buy. No. Right now, there's two little tiny things for sale on my site. That's it for now anyway. So it's mostly about us connecting and being a community and supporting, you know, getting my published and supporting that and being, reaching out to a global community. That's exciting. I like that a lot. So I would love that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Dr. Jennifer, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on today's show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much. It's been great to be here. It was fun doing this with you.
This is Joe Pena, and you've been listening to Enlighten Me. Thanks for listening.